The gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 young women took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. Then the foolish took their lamps. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those young women, sometimes translated virgins, sometimes bridesmaids, all those young women got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other young women came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord is forever. Thanks be to God. So have you ever seen those memes titled, "You had one job"? So there'll be things like an intersection where there's a stop sign, and then painted on the road it says, SOTP. Or an article in a newspaper whose headline is, "Add header here before printing." Or a billboard or a sign that was hung in parts and they're all out of order. Or a sign that reads, "School free drug zone." If you ever have an hour or two to kill, those are fun memes to look through. So here's another example. It's a memory that, I'm sorry, Jeff, it might bring you a little bit of residual pain. A few years ago, when I was in Men of Song, and he was the director of the high school choirs, he asked Men of Song to perform at the high school choir's winter concert over at First Baptist Church. So I was there for rehearsal, where the main choir had a percussion section as part of the accompaniment. There's one song that built up to a climax. It built and built and then crash, big cymbal crash. Except that the student on the cymbals had a lot of difficulty counting the dozens of measures of rest and knowing where to come in. So finally, Jeff said, "I'll cue you. Just watch for my cue." So they ran it a couple times and everything went well. And then the performance came. The song built and built to the climax, and Jeff cued him, and the student had his nose buried in the music, trying to figure out when to come in. I could see Jeff wince with, like, his whole body. But when the moment passed, it was too late, right? It's not like the student could have crashed the cymbals a measure or two later. It had to be then or not at all. Timing is everything. In today's story, we hear about some bridesmaids who had a job to do. Their job was to light the way for the groom. They all had their lamps and were ready to go. But as was common at the time, the groom was delayed. See, weddings in Jesus' day didn't follow a strict schedule like they do now. Basically, the wedding happened when everything was ready. So the groom shows up at midnight and catches the bridesmaids off guard. So one reference I read actually said that was kind of part of the game, that the groom would try to surprise everybody. Well, it worked. Some of the bridesmaids had extra oil, and some of them didn't. The response of the wise ones was, the ones who had the extra oil, was basically, "Tough luck. You forgot, so you need to fix your own problem." That's a little harsh, isn't it? Couldn't they have shared? Well, maybe not. Maybe if they had, then nobody would have enough to get through the ceremony. Would you rather have half the lamps for the whole ceremony or all the lamps for half the ceremony? Right? It seems like maybe having some lamps is better than none. So off they go, the foolish bridesmaids, looking for a place to buy oil. Now, this was first century Judea or Galilee, not modern America. So I just got back from elk hunting last weekend. We had to drive through the night to and from Durango, Colorado. There were many gas stations we passed that were closed altogether in the middle of the night. And then there were some that you could get gas at the pump, but only if you paid with a card at the pump. You know, northern Texas, eastern New Mexico, eastern Colorado, western Kansas, those are some pretty lonely places in America. Now, first century Judea wasn't quite so empty, but I'm pretty sure they didn't have 24-hour convenience stores or credit cards to pay at the pump to dispense their oil, right? So where the heck would these foolish bridesmaids get oil? What, are they going to get the oil merchant out of bed in the middle of the night? Who knows? The bridesmaids had one job: to give light when the groom appeared. Half of them were ready, and the other half screwed it up. They missed their chance to participate. Let me put this parable in context. Throughout the gospel according to Matthew, Jesus is portrayed as the new Moses. Just as Moses gave the law to the ancient Israelites, Jesus gives a new law to his followers. Something I've noticed, though, it's a tendency, it's not 100%, but the Mosaic law is full of thou shalt nots. Thou shalt not make idols. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not covet. But Jesus' law is filled with thou shalts. You are blessed when you're meek or merciful or peacemakers. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, so let your light shine. Turn the other cheek, walk the second mile, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all things will be given to you. Jesus' law is not so much about how not to sin, since he was in the process of forgiving everyone's sins anyway. Rather, Jesus' law is about how to heal the brokenness of the world and build positive relationships and healthy communities. You are the light of the world. The bridesmaids were the light of the wedding, and they fell short. They were not prepared to wait and did not have deep enough reserves to continue to light the party while the bridegroom was delayed. We need to do better. Now, we have four Gospels in our Bible because each one has a unique perspective. As I said, Matthew portrays Jesus as a new Moses. Also, we think Matthew was written in the late first century, soon after the destruction of the temple. The people in Matthew's community were waiting and wondering, how long? How long would the present age continue? How long until Jesus came again in glory to right all the wrongs, to heal all the sick and wounded, to overturn the oppressive system that they were living under? How long until their rightful place as the holy people of God would be restored? They were waiting expectantly, hoping that Jesus would return soon. Well, Jesus will return soon, but in God's time, not ours. Jesus said that not even he knew when he would return in glory, only the Father does. God knows the right time and will give us the cue if we're watching for it. So what was Matthew's community supposed to do in the meantime, and what are we supposed to do? Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." That is, we who await the coming of God's kingdom should get to work transforming the world by our love. We are expected to follow all of the thou shalts that Jesus taught his disciples. One of the great mysteries of history is how a small sect of an oddball religion became the official religion of the Roman Empire and the dominant religious force in the world for more than a millennium. One theory is that the consistent efforts of Christians to serve others established their credentials as a force for good that people wanted to join. Christians essentially invented hospitals in their first few centuries of existence. During a great plague in the first century, or fourth century, rather, only Christians stayed behind in the city of Caesarea to care for the sick and dying. Early Christians set an example for their philanthropy and charity in that they cared for all the poor, not just fellow Christians. As a result, Christians rightfully claimed the moral high ground and drew converts. More a trickle than a flood, but a trickle that lasted centuries. This is exactly what Matthew was trying to say to his community. Jesus is coming, of that you can be sure, but when exactly? Only God knows. So in the meantime, be ready. Be ready by getting to work, transforming the world into God's kingdom, living as if Jesus had returned already, or as if Jesus is present with you right now. And that is the message to us today. There's a sense about our congregation that we're waiting for something. Some people are holding back until we get a new pastor. Some people are waiting for someone else to tell them what to do. Well, we may not have an ordained and installed pastor, and we may not have anyone telling us what to do, but we're not alone. Jesus is here among us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' followers left us his teachings to guide us. A hallmark of the Reformation is the priesthood of all believers. We are all empowered to approach God and to learn God's will for our lives and our community. Approach God directly. We have an important message for the world. We believe in a God of love, of welcome, of inclusion. We believe that all people are made in God's image and are valued members of God's family. I know that there are literally thousands of people in Rolla who need to hear that message. Some of them have only been told about a God of judgment, or have experienced spiritual, emotional, or even sexual abuse in a church. Some of them have only heard about Christianity from mass media, which gives a highly distorted view. I've noticed that anytime I'm watching the news and I actually know something about what they're talking about, the news coverage is a little off, a little wrong, perhaps a little biased or one-sided, lacking in nuance and thin on details. But that's the only source of information that some people have about this God that we love and who loves us. If we look around Rolla, we can see needs everywhere. There are people struggling to survive, homeless or hungry, or struggling with addiction. There are lots of lonely people, people estranged from their families, or far from home for the purposes of career or education, or far from adult children who have gone off to pursue a career elsewhere. There are parents struggling to raise their families. I've heard that the best parenting hack is to have a grandparent who lives nearby and helps take care of your children. Because of the transitory nature of a college town, many parents in Rolla don't have that luxury, but instead have to figure out a way to do everything themselves. So what is the Christian response? Our one job is to be the light of the world. We are to shine before others with our good works, helping everyone in need. Well, maybe not everyone, but someone. God doesn't expect us to solve all the problems of the world, because that's God's job. But we are expected to do our part, to see a need and do something about it. So let's stop waiting. We know what to do. A couple of times now, I've asked you all to consider what your personal calling is and to seek people who might share that calling. I'd love to hear from you about how that's going. Maybe it's going great and we need to lift up your successes. Or maybe, like me, you're struggling a bit to get traction and we need to pray with and for you to help you take the next step. Whatever the case, I want to hear about it. What are you doing, or what do you want to do to shine the light of God's love in our broken world? How can we help each other to all have plenty of spare oil so that we can all continue to serve God's people? So let's not wait until the moment has passed. Let's build God's kingdom now, responding to the needs of our community and our world. Amen.